This is our final week of this Give Thanks series. We have been taking a look at this idea of gratitude and thanksgiving all month long, and we're going to wrap it up today. Next month is December, so we're going to shift gears a little bit and turn our attention to the incarnation. We're going to take a look at who Jesus is, both fully God, fully human, why he came in human flesh, and we're going to spend the month taking a look at the incarnation, about why that's so important. But that's next month, that's Christmas, and we can't celebrate Christmas until after Thanksgiving is done. Amen? Right, some of you guys are putting up Christmas stuff way too early. And I'll just tell you this. Every Christmas light that is lit before Thanksgiving, an elf drowns a baby reindeer. You know that's true, right? Some of you are like, no, they don't. You're not supposed to put Christmas up too early. I'm sorry, I think it's a law somewhere. So we're going to finish, yes, see, amen right there. So we're going to finish out Thanksgiving today, and we are going to take a look at Psalm 100, but then we're going to flip over to Hebrews chapter 12, back toward the end of the Bible. So stick your finger back there as well. What I want us to see this morning is that this idea of gratitude is not just something we do around Thanksgiving time. It's not just something we do in the month of November. It's something that should impact every area of our life. It's something that that has an impact on every part of our lives, including our worship and including our service. Worship and service in the Bible are very closely linked. And when you have worship, you have service. And when you have service, you have worship. And the two are linked together. And Psalm 100 invites us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So it's not just a response to what God has done, but it's actually a way to enter into his presence. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It opens up the way for us to have a deeper communion, a deeper fellowship, a relationship with God, and it paves the way for us to serve him better, as we're going to see in Hebrews. So how do we express that? How do you express your thankfulness? I mean, think about that for a minute. Through this whole month, we've mentioned several different ways, practical ways that we can express our gratitude, keeping a gratitude journal, using, a couple weeks ago, we talked about popcorn prayers, just the spontaneous moments of thankfulness to God, those kind of things. And typically, we all recognize this, but typically this attitude of Thanksgiving is seasonal, because November, and this week in particular, it's a big reminder to be thankful, this idea of a holiday of Thanksgiving. And so let's approach it from that perspective for just a minute. For my family, what we did was we wrote things that we're thankful for on paper pumpkins, and we hung them up throughout the house. Some of them are still hanging up, even though we have dogs and we have kids and we have doors left open so the wind blows through and leaves get blown in and all the chaos that comes with having a large family. And some of them are still taped to the walls. It's pretty amazing, actually. One family I know that when their kids were small, what they did was they bought a white cloth tablecloth. And what they started doing every year was everybody would write something with a Sharpie or something on the tablecloth what they were thankful for, and then they would cover it with a piece of plastic so that it didn't get cranberry sauce on next to the thankful things. And then they added to it every year, and that tablecloth is a pretty phenomenal piece of family history now after several years. So there's a lot of ways that we can remember to be thankful. And this week in particular is a good reminder of that. It's a good opportunity to stop and reflect on the blessings that we've been given and to express our gratitude. But we can't limit it to just a few weeks in the fall. In fact, the Bible teaches us that Thanksgiving is not just a momentary action, but it's a vital daily aspect of our spiritual growth and of our relationship with Jesus. It's something that we have to do all the time. So it's not just... I mean, it is this, but it's not just this. It's not just polite acknowledgement of something that we've been given, of a gift or a blessing. It's a posture. It's an attitude that shapes our relationship with God and with one another. In Psalm 100, we're invited to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, reminding us that that thanksgiving is part of, if not maybe one of the keys, to entering into the presence of God. So it's not only about what he has done for us, it's just as much, if not more, about who he is, his goodness, his love, his faithfulness. And then as we turn to Hebrews 12 in a few minutes, we're going to see that God calls us to serve out of our worship in gratitude. Gratitude transforms our worship into something deeper, something tangible, and allows us to serve him and serve others. And so What I want to do this morning is take a look at these two passages and see how to live in a posture of gratitude. Here's the first thing I see that we should do, that we need to keep in mind as we try to develop this posture, is we need to understand that thanksgiving is the gateway. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So it's a gateway to entering into God's presence. And he uses the word enter here, but this is not the first time he uses the word enter, although your Bible probably doesn't say enter. If you go back to verse 2, the psalmist writes, serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Same word. In the Hebrew language, it's the exact same word, enter into his gates and come into his presence. Enter and come. And they're the same action. So it's an invitation to come in, to enter. However, he says that we don't just come in empty-handed. We come in, we enter, we come into his presence with praise, with thanksgiving. And not just simply for any old thing. We enter, we come with gratitude to God for who he is, for what he has done, and for what he's going to continue to do. It's a recognition of God as God. That's what we're recognizing. So it's not just a reaction, this idea of gratitude. It's not just a reaction to God's blessings. It's a key to entering into his presence. And when we approach God with a thankful heart, what we do is we position ourselves to experience his grace, his love, his fellowship more fully, more deeply. Gratitude will shift our focus from our circumstances, whether they're good or bad, to the unchanging nature and the character of God. And it's when we are thankful, I think that I could probably state this pretty solidly, when we have an attitude of gratitude, that's when we are aligning our hearts with his will, maybe the easiest. We're aligning ourselves with his will, acknowledging him as the source of every good thing, just as a, just like a heartfelt thank you phrase does wonders for a relationship, it adds something to it. And when we come into his presence with thanksgiving, we're adding that. I don't know if you've read The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a prisoner of war in World War II in some of the concentration camps, and she writes about her experiences, and she tells about an event that has always reminded her to be thankful to God in her book, The Hiding Place. She and her sister, Betsy, had just been transferred to the worst German prison camp that they had seen yet, which was Ravensbrück at this point. And on getting into the barracks where they were kept, they were very crowded, overcrowded, and they were infested with fleas. And that morning, she says that their scripture reading was in 1 Thessalonians, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, reminded them to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. And Betsy says, Corrie, we should stop and we should give thanks to God for what he's blessed us with and for every little detail of their new living quarters. And Corrie says, no, flatly refused. No, I will not thank God for the fleas. But Betsy persisted, and Corrie eventually came to a point where she could be thankful to God for the fleas. You guys are like, what? I mean, that makes no sense, right? During the months that they spent at Ravensbrück, they were surprised to find out how openly they could have Bible studies and prayer meetings in their barracks, that the guards would not come in. Want to guess why? The fleas. So there was a reason. There's a reason for them to be thankful. Gratitude is an act of faith. It's trust that even in things we don't understand, God is at work. And when we express our gratitude, we declare to ourselves, we declare to others that God is worthy of praise regardless of whatever it is we might face. And so that helps us change our perspective. It helps us to see things a little differently, seeing life through the lens of God's faithfulness rather than my struggles. That's what gratitude can help me do, which opens the door for a deeper awareness of his presence in my life, a deeper comprehension of his power in my life, and it's a gateway to worship, not just to a Sunday morning ritual like we do every week, but of a personal and vibrant encounter with the living God. So it's a gateway. But the second thing I think we need to understand is in a posture of gratitude is that being thankful is a reflection of God's goodness. In other words, it's not about us. Look at verse 5, Psalm 100. This is a reminder of why it's so essential in our worship. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. So when we recognize the unchanging character of God, what that does is it naturally forms gratitude in our lives. Gratitude helps us to see the unchanging nature of God, and the unchanging nature of God helps us to develop gratitude. It's this cyclical thing. It keeps building off each other, which is not to say, I mean, it's very much unlike our circumstances. Our circumstances do not allow us to build gratitude very easy sometimes, do they? We look at our circumstances. We might be in the middle of a tough situation, and it's hard to be thankful. So our attitude can shift back and forth because our circumstances can shift back and forth. But God's goodness and His faithfulness and His love remain constant. So what Psalm 100 tells us, what it reminds us is this. Thanksgiving is not simply about what God has done. I mean, it is that. But it's more about who He is. That's what gratitude is. He is a good God whose goodness knows no limits, whose love never fails, and whose faithfulness stretches beyond time. So here's what gratitude is essentially. I've waited all month to give you this definition. When we give thanks, we are proclaiming the truth of God's character to ourselves and to others. That's the best definition of being thankful that I've ever heard. We are proclaiming the truth of God's character to ourselves and to those around us. It strengthens our faith to remember that His promises endure. No matter what we might go through, gratitude transforms our worship by helping us focus on His goodness instead of my situation. James chapter 1 reminds us of that. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every gift, everything good in our lives points back to the goodness of God. Last week, Nathan preached, and Heather and I were at ICOM, International Conference on Missions. Was in Lexington, Kentucky this year, which was eight and a half hour drive-ish, and it was a busy few days. We started early, we went late. While we were there, we held one of our two annual board meetings that American Indian Christian Mission has face-to-face every year. We meet by Zoom the rest of the year, but two times a year, one at ICOM. So it was busy, had a couple other meetings to go to as well, because it's easy to schedule those kind of things whenever everybody's in the same place. And so it's a good conference for that. But it's also good because there's a lot of other things going on there. And one of the people that I needed to talk to, not because I had a meeting or anything official lined up, but just because this guy has been an impact in my life since probably pushing 20 years now, was a man by the name of Dean Troon. I met Dean back in the early 2000s when he spoke at a CIY conference that I took our youth group to, and he was the leader of a ministry called Impact Prayer Ministries at that point, and what he had done was to take his prayer journal and create copies of the format, and he was giving those away, so I wanted to have one. It's full of several different sections of different aspects of prayer, and the way he described it was really good. So I made a beeline to his table to pick one up and to talk to him. This was 2002, probably, maybe 2003. And what I didn't know is that picking up a prayer journal from Dean Troon in the early 2000s would launch into a 20-year friendship. But it did. And so when I was at ICOM this week, I decided that I needed to seek him out like I always do. He lives in Phoenix. I don't get to see him that often. Even when I go to Arizona, I don't make it as far as Phoenix. And so I looked for him. I found his table, and I jump at that every chance I get. And we talked for a while, and it was a good conversation. But Dean has a way of speaking into my life in a way that is very, very pointed, very blunt in his conversations with me. And so he just asked me point blank. He says, how is your prayer life doing? He asked me how I was practicing. Specifically, he said, how are you practicing gratitude in your prayer life? That's the question he asked me in the middle of the busy conference hall last weekend. A lot of people around. And gratitude is one of the sections of his prayer journal, and in many ways, it's kind of the foundation for all the other sections of the prayer journal. And he reminded me that most of the time, my prayers are going to be ineffective if I don't build them on the foundation of thankfulness. So, you know what I did after I had a conversation with Dean? I went back to my hotel room and I sat down with my journal. I carved out some time and I just started listing everything that I'm thankful for. And those started off as things, which then soon transformed to people. But even that didn't last very long, and I started finding myself writing down characteristics of God. You see what had happened? I mean, it took me maybe an hour, but you see what happened there, right? My gratefulness for things transferred into a moment of worship in my hotel room. I had moved from the characteristics of what God has blessed me with to the characteristics of the blesser, the giver of the gifts. It's worship. When we thank God for who He is, then our hearts are filled with worship, with joy, and it becomes a celebration of His goodness. The third thing I think we need to understand about a posture of gratitude is that it's the foundation of service. So flip over to Hebrews chapter 12. Toward the end of your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 is a call to respond to God's call on our lives with including thanksgiving. Chapter 12, verse 28, that let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. This unshakable kingdom that he's talking about here refers to this hope and this salvation that we have in Christ, to get something that we can never earn on our own. So he says, let us be grateful for receiving that. Gratitude is the only fitting response for what God has done for us. And when we grasp the magnitude of what God has done, at least as much as our finite minds can handle, when we grasp it, thanksgiving just is the natural overflow, the natural response to that in our lives. You cannot understand what God has done without expressing gratitude for it. That's the natural flow and the heart response that we should have. And that means that service flows out of that. Because you can't respond to it without a response, right? And the response, the writer of Hebrews says, is serving God with a thankful heart. So it transforms our service from something that we might feel obligated to do to something that's more heartfelt and more expressive in our worship. It's not about repaying God for what he's done, something we could never do anyway, but it's about offering ourselves in response to what he's done. Romans chapter 12, Paul says it like this. I appeal to you, he's talking to the Romans, I say, I appeal to you, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So an attitude of gratitude gives meaning and gives purpose to our service. When we serve with gratitude, we do that with a sense of, it's a privilege. We do it with a sense of awe. We don't do it with a sense of resentment or weariness or fatigue. When we're serving in our church, or whether we're serving in our family, or we're simply serving wherever in our daily lives, those actions become acts of worship whenever we do them with a thankful heart. So if you want to cultivate that in your life, then I would suggest you start by spending time in prayer, thanking God for this unshakable kingdom and the promises that he's made to us, and then asking him to guide how you respond to that. Because gratitude reminds us that everything we do for him is both a gift to give, and it's a reflection of the grace that we've received. Which then leads us to point number four. Gratitude is the fuel that we need in order to serve or to minister to others. It doesn't stop at transforming our worship. It extends right outward, fueling how we serve those around us. Colossians chapter 3 tells us this: whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever you do, do it with gratitude. It shapes not only our personal worship, but also the way we live out our faith in practical ways. And when our hearts are filled with thanksgiving for God's faithfulness, for God's provision, for God's salvation, then what that does is that impacts, it overflows into our interactions with others. It inspires us to serve with joy. It inspires to serve with devotion, and it inspires to be grateful for the opportunity to do so. And so what it does is it changes the way we view ministry, the way we serve or minister to one another. Instead of seeing service as a chore, we begin to see it as an opportunity to reflect God's love around us. It becomes less of what we have to do and much more about what we get to do in response to what God has done. It energizes us for service. It creates genuine care for others in our lives because we recognize that we're simply passing on the blessings that he's poured into our lives. 1 Peter chapter 4 reminds us that as each of us has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. Whether it's acts of kindness, whether it's encouragement, whether it's practical help, hands-on, our service becomes an extension of our thanksgiving. It does. And how do we live that out? By asking God every day how we can find ways to serve others with what he's blessed us with. By cultivating a lifestyle of gratitude, what we do is we not only deepen our connection with God, but we also become a light to those around us so that they can see Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6 is in the Sermon on the Mount. I forgot the exact passage. It's not in my notes. Let your light shine so that others can see your good works and glorify your God, your Father in heaven. Points them to the one we serve. So we're going to do something a little different this morning as we end this series. I've looked this month, and as what I've tried to do through this entire series is I've tried to share with you several people who I am thankful for who've had an impact in my life in various ways. And so far, those people have been people who are not people you know, people in my life that are not from here. This morning, I want to express thankfulness for somebody that we know very, very, very close, very intimately. Nathan, can you come help me with the... John and Christine Dethridge, would you guys come to the front, please? Elders, you guys can come up to the front as well. Many of you know John, although some of you may not know John. If you have not had a chance to get to know the Dethridges, then you need to take the opportunity to. John is a person who has dedicated almost six decades of his life to serving Jesus here at Parkview Christian Church. And so today we want to honor that service, that dedication, and the heart that is poured into this community with love and tireless effort. And so, John, your lifetime of service here is a testament to what it means to live a life of faith. You have been a solid pillar in this congregation, a source of strength, a source of work, a source of encouragement. You've given your time, you've given your talents, you've given your treasures without seeking recognition, and you have done it in so many ways. And so I want to share with you some of the ways that John has been involved in ministry at Parkview Christian Church. First of all, he served as a deacon for years, offering his knowledge and his wisdom as part of our leadership team in so many different ways. He's also served as the treasurer and part of the finance committee for a long time, making sure that the monies and the offerings and the tithes that were given were used faithfully for the kingdom. He served on the building and grounds team, keeping this building in good shape, fixing things that needed to be fixed, changing things when our ministry needs changed, and allowing them to form in different ways. He served as the cook for our monthly men's breakfast, coming in, oh, good grief, I don't even know how early you get here on Saturday mornings for that, in order to start frying the bacon and cracking the eggs and working on that. He served as the leader and coordinator of our annual fish fry in much the same way, working in the kitchen to make a very tasty event for the church to enjoy. He's been part of the special days committee, which not only the fish fry, but other church events like Thanksgiving dinners, Easter breakfast, those kind of things. He's a big part of the team that imagined the Family Life Center, which we're going to head down to in a few minutes. He's been a part of the team that imagined and helped bring to completion the Koinonia Heights across the streets, the apartments, in so many different ways that those have been an impact in our community. He's even been a part of the pulpit committee from time to time and helping select the ministry staff here at Parkview. I don't honestly remember if you were on the committee when I was hired or not. What I do remember is... He accepts no responsibility from me. I can see that very clearly. What I do know is that the first week I was here, we were out at your house for a bonfire with your Sunday school class. So you might not have been on the committee, but you were right there involved in the process, and we appreciate that invitation. Your faithfulness, your service have inspired so many, and your impact will continue to have effect in this congregation and the lives of those you've touched. But what stands out is not just what you've done, John, but it's how you've done it. With a humility in your life and with a servant's heart. And in a world that often seeks recognition and the rewards of service, John has never done that. He has displayed a force for good, shining Jesus wherever he goes. And so today, John, we want to, as a church, just say thank you. We want to say thank you for every prayer you've lifted, for every hand that you've held, for every seed of faith that you have planted in people's lives through this church. We want to thank you for every egg that you've cracked, for every light bulb that you have changed, for every deposit that you went to the bank and made. We want to thank you for being a living example of God's love and for showing what it means to walk humbly before our Lord. And we celebrate with you and want you to know that your work has not been in vain. The fruit of your work is evident in this church and beyond. And though our words cannot fully express our gratitude, please know that you are deeply loved, you are deeply respected, and you are deeply cherished. And our prayer is that God continues to bless you in your life and your family, knowing that you have the deep appreciation of this church. And we want to thank you for being a faithful servant, but we know that you couldn't do that by yourself. And so, Christine, you have been the silent partner in a lot of his service and his activities.
Not always silent.
But she has been right there supporting and encouraging John in his service and making as much sacrifice, as much impact, and one that cannot be measured. And so with all of our hearts, we honor you and we celebrate you today. And so, church, when we are done, when we are done with our service this morning, we're going to head down to the other end. And Toby, you can make something very official in just a moment. We're going to head down to the other end, and we're going to allow John and Christine to go through the line first. And you will have an opportunity to express your gratitude to the Dethridges for their service over the years. Toby, would you like to add any words to that?
John, will show you, take a chance to look. We want
here
to give John something that
microphone
he can display at the house.
Give that to Toby.
Just a little plaque that you'll forever know how much we're grateful for your time and service over the years. I think
we're going to pray. Yes.
Father God, we as your body of believers here at Parkview, Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. And this morning, Lord, I want to express my thankfulness for John Dethridge, for his friendship. I'm thankful for his friendship with all the men that stand before you, Lord. I'm thankful for his friendship and the relationship he's built with many, many people that are in this congregation this morning, many that have passed on. Lord, over the years, he's had so many different interactions, so many laughs. Lord, his impact will live on for a long, long time. Whether it was serving as a deacon, as Jeff mentioned, or the treasurer, or the building and grounds, or making food for the men's breakfast, Lord, he's touched many, many lives. And that will not be soon forgotten. I'm thankful for his dedicated and faithful service for so, so many years. And I, too, am thankful for Chris being that steady rock that stands behind him, always with a smile and a hug, to serve right alongside of him, Lord. We thank you for their example, and we ask that each of us want to live up to that example of service to you, Lord. And that is our prayer. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. John did not know we were planning that for this morning, and so that was a complete surprise. I hope nobody let the cat out of the bag. So, what I hope we see in this is that gratitude is not simply a single act or a single moment. It is a way of life that transforms our life. It transforms our worship. It transforms our service. And when we approach God with gratitude, like Psalm 100 asks us, invites us to do, we enter into His presence with thanksgiving. We experience His goodness and His love and His joy in deeper ways. It opens the door for a deeper relationship with God. It impacts everything we do in life, aligning our hearts with His, allowing us to experience His grace more fully. But it doesn't stop there, because it motivates us to action. Maybe as much as 60 years of service as we serve Jesus by serving one another. Hebrews 12 reminds us that we have an unshakable kingdom, and that we serve and we worship because of what He has done on our behalf, what God has done. And so a life marked with gratitude and a life that flows out of that gratitude with worship and service is a powerful witness to the world, and it reflects the hope and the joy that we have in Jesus. And so my challenge to us this morning, not just as we finish this morning, but as we finish this series, is that we commit ourselves to cultivating a lifestyle of gratitude, not just while we're here, not just when we're celebrating the holiday, but something that impacts and moves into, it takes residence in every part of our life. Find practical ways to reflect on God's faithfulness and to serve one another as an expression of that gratitude. And what you do is you not only deepen your own honor for God, but you also deepen your faith and you inspire others to seek Him as well. Because gratitude is not something we feel. It's something we live. So let us live as thankful people as we worship and serve our God. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you don't know who Jesus is, and if you would like to have an opportunity to meet Him, today would be a good day. Song 308, it'll be on the screen, but if you want to use your book, it's the song, "There is a Redeemer." Let me pray, and then we will stand and we will sing. Father, I'm so thankful that because of who You are, we get to live out lives that reflect Your goodness, that reflect Your love, that reflect Your faithfulness to others. And I think, Lord, that what we've seen through these last 4 weeks is that the best way that we can express that to the world around us is by living lives of gratitude, which flows into every aspect of who we are, including our worship and including our service. God, help us to be thankful people because of You, because of Your Son, because we have the opportunity to be restored to our relationship with You through what He did when He came and lived the life that we could not live, died the death that we should have died, and then walked out of the grave so that we can have an eternity with You. Thank You, God, for being that kind of Father for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.